This is The State of Things. I'm Anita Rao. The first quarter of 2020 was supposed to be a game changer for Durham-based musician Ione Jeffries. She and eight partners had recently opened the local farming collaborative Hundewa Farms. The 25-year-old singer-songwriter's new album, Potential Gunplay, was also slated for release in March. Then COVID-19 hit. The album release was moved to May, then delayed again till August. Despite the pandemic slowdowns, Ione's album and her farm are poised to help her finish the year strong. Ione Jeffries joins us again on the show now. Ione, welcome back to The State of Things.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Congratulations on your album, and I'm so sorry for all of the delays. I'd love to know a bit about how the pandemic has influenced your creative process.
Yeah. First and foremost, thank you. I do appreciate that. It's been quite a journey, though I've learned a lot about myself and a lot about the process of just continuing, no matter what's happening around you, no matter what's going on in your vicinity.
You have done a lot in the past year. In addition to put out this album, you also started a farm, Hundewa Farms.
Yes.
Tell me a bit about that.
Yes. So Hundewa Farms is an Afro-Indigenous farming collective based in Rougemont, North Carolina. So we produce food for people who and families that live in regions and communities that experience food insecurity. And then we also grow hemp, which is our cash crop for this year. And it's our first time ever doing any of this together. It was a vision that came to fruition about 5-6 years ago, just through the research and studying hemp and cannabis laws across the country and how they operate just at a global scale. And just like having the basis of having a brother who I don't really talk about publicly, that he was born with hydrocephalus and he developed epilepsy from a dirty shunt that was put in his brain as a baby. And growing up with him and seeing like that he had to take so many different medications, which actually caused diseases and it caused a lot of bodily functions or dysfunctions rather for him. My mother started to look towards cannabis to help him and to revive him, you know, into just living again and living a better life and a more holistic life. So that's how it started. And then of course, for myself, when I was a political field organizer, I had a project up in Long Island, New York, that I was heading to, and I had marijuana with me. I wound up being on probation in the state of Virginia, and I represented myself in court, and I got the case expunged. But the way that I did that was by being studious, by researching and knowing exactly what it was that the information that I needed to help get myself acquitted of those charges. From there, it just kind of spun out of control by itself.
Well, that's so interesting because it seems like, you're inspired and intrigued by both the healing properties as well as the bigger social and political context around the particular crop, hemp of itself.
For sure. Yes, we all are. And we are the only Afro-Indigenous farm that is growing hemp in this way in the Southeast region. And just to give you a better sense of how widely hemp is being accepted, the USDA is now granting, they're giving out grants up to $500,000. So it's $500,000 to indigenous establishments or indigenous tribes all throughout the U.S. that are federally recognized. So I'm a member of the Okanichee Saponi, which is located here in North Carolina. Our land our region of where my ancestors lived extends from Chatham, Orange, to Alamance County, all the way up through Durham County, which, you know, extends right further north, going into Stem, going into Berea, Rougemont, where we're located. So we're actually on the native land of my people. And to see that this is now being the scalability is being is accelerated right now. And I feel like we're pioneering a part of what's going to come for us and what's to come for the generations that, are growing through COVID and
yeah.
Also being born of it. So 1, 2, 3, 5 of our members are now new parents or are having babies. And, you know, at the start of this, we came in, none of us were parents beyond my mother, who's a member of Handewa as well.
There's such an interesting interplay, between the work that you all are doing as a collective on the farm and your musical career. And I want to play a song now and then have you unpack those layers a bit more, because I think some of that comes through bit in this song. So let's listen quickly to a clip of Umbaya.
Coherent, don't need your language to feel what I'm saying. Playing the game and we don't plan on winning. Tell them put their guns down, that's enough with the shooting. Ooh, you hear them? Yeah, they lurking. Plotting on us, block is hot. Accolades for the killing. Tell them, ooh, we got this. In our pigment and in our blood, tell them, ooh, we got this. Yeah, you feel it all in your skin. And they know we the realest. Mbaya, 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 mbaya,
mbaya, mbaya, mbaya. Ione Jeffries from her new album, Potential Gompe. That song is Umbaya. There's so much in there that I hear about you kind of excavating your womanhood, your blackness, your native identity, your relationship with the land, your relationship with politics, and all of which seems to come through also in, you know, your decision to start this collective. So I'd love to know kind of how those identities and those two worlds come together for you and your music.
You said it all right there. I am an Afro-Indigenous woman, and being a Black woman in this country is very difficult, though it is something that I'm very proud of and I'm honored to experience in this lifetime. And, you know, like, a lot of the lyrics from that song in particular stand true, and I wrote it 5 years ago, and we're seeing it, like, we're speaking up on this a day after the verdict of Breonna Taylor's case, where all of the officers involved were acquitted on the charges of her murder. And to be living in a moment where I'm seeing, like, these lyrics actually, like, played out in front of me makes me feel like I have a duty. And in fulfilling that duty, you know, everyone has their position. And as I mentioned before, I was a political field organizer for many years before I, you know, decided to come back home to North Carolina and focus entirely on my artistry. And through those experiences and through the one that we are now presented with Breonna Taylor and countless others, men and women, and, you know, it truly is innumerous at this point, but I feel like it is my duty to be a leader and to use my voice to help others, to incite healing, to incite awareness, to incite just the ability to have fun and to let loose as Black people and as brown people globally. It is my intention that to have this music reach a multitude of people, not just the ones that are here in North Carolina or the ones that are here in the United States, because it does affect us all. You know, when we see any of our brothers or our sisters hurt, that's a part of us. And, you know, into undoing a lot of that generational trauma, what we call in my tribe, Blunt Kotswe, to eradicate that, we have to be more connected to ourselves and to one another. And that's the only way that we're going to get to a space and a place as Black people and as brown people internationally where we can feel safe. Because right now we don't feel safe just walking in the street, you know. There's nowhere safe but our homes. But guess what? Breonna Taylor was sleeping in her home when it happened. For me, like, the identity of it, right? It all pulls together from the experiences that I that I have in life, but also like the duty that I feel to myself and to my people.
And how you navigate your identity within your own intimate relationships. I think that comes across in a lot of the songs on this album, you mm-hmm. figuring out where to set your boundaries and how to set your boundaries and how to, you know, fill your artistic, mm-hmm. artistic cup. And I'd love to listen to another song and we can talk a bit more after that. Let's listen to Little Black Boy.
Missing you like hell. I hope that you are well. These boundaries are keeping me right where I need to be. Still can't shake the fact that you are right without me. You probably fake it. You real good at that Your heart could be breaking. For staying true to your word the first time ever. But hey, we get what we deserve. Black boy, you got a long way to go. Little black boy, you got a long way to go. Little black boy, my heart and your toy. Little black boy, yeah.
That's Little Black Boy from Ayani Jeffries' new album, Potential Gunpei. Ayani Jeffries is with me now. You move through so many different styles and genres on this album and bring so many things together. Talk to me about the makeup of your kind of approach to creating your music.
Well, first, I was born to a Jamaican musician and a Native American writer. So, you know, coming with that skill set already, and just having so many different outlets of my artistry, it just, yeah, it happens naturally. I don't have any special tricks or abilities. I feel a song based on an experience I go through or that someone close to me goes through, and it comes out. It sometimes seems like I'm a vessel and the songs just pour through me. I'm working on giving myself more credit for writing them. but yeah, it's truly just an ability and a gift that I was given when I came to Earth. Yeah, I've been writing since I was 3 years old. So it's, at this point, I think it's just like kind of embedded into who I am as a person.
We're going to close out on the song Respect the Hustle. That's your tribute to the late rap artist and entrepreneur Nipsey Hussle, who passed away last year. But I'd love for you to just talk briefly about how his work, both in music and outside of music, informed your own and why you wanted to pay tribute to him.
Yes. So Nipsey Hussle, of course, was a rap artist, and many people know him as such, though his given name was Ernest. And he was a Eritrean American, someone who really cared about other people and cared about justice by any means necessary. And I really respected that about him. I honored that about him, and I wanted to uplift him in that way, because I think far too often as musicians, and as Black musicians especially, we can sometimes get boxed in, and most people will see us through the lens of only being the musician, not recognizing that the music that I created, the music that he created, was protest music. It was music to uplift and to elevate and to help inspire the change that we see. Of course, that happens incrementally, right? We have our own little dose that we give to the world. Though his was really significant to me, and more significant than most musicians or rappers, because he took his gaze and he took that guide and he shifted it and created a larger perspective that people could access. And he made people feel as though they were a part of the bigger picture that he was painting, like that portrait of like, okay, this is what America encompasses, and this is where we are, but this is where we're headed, you know? And as he started to embark more on that part of his journey, is when he was assassinated. And we have to be real about that, and we have to really talk about that, because it's something that happens far too often with our Black leaders.
Well, we
all
are going to
Black leaders. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just want to leave a little bit of time to go out on that song and hear all of your reflections in it. But I just want to say thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your music.
Thank
and
you
Ione Jeffries is a musician based in Durham and co-owner of Handewa Farms. You can find out more about her and everything we talked about today at our website, stateofthings.org. Ione, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Anita Rao. Once again, the music of Ione Jeffries.
I just wanted to tell you that I love you. And recently, I've just been soul searching, you know, just digging deep with yourself. And I've realized that I have so much more healing to do. You know, I've kept so much stuff repressed. And I got to release and I got to let it go before we get to where we're headed to, you know. But I just wanted to say I love you, and I thank you for sticking it through with me, baby. And you're amazing, and we can only go up from here.
Searching for her and me. Gave you everything, yeah. I know you miss her, cold sweats in your sleep. We need time to be free. You find what you're searching for. Wondering eyes, pray you find what you're searching for. It ain't me now, so I'll let you go. Give you time to heal on your own. Let go of your pain. Your past, wandering eyes, pray you find what you're searching for. Wandering eyes, pray you find what you're searching for. And we'll meet at the other end of this, yeah. Race that we're both running, I pray you. We will do it when we